طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our review session number 8 from the book 3 level 3 course. And today inshallah we're going to be reviewing lesson number 12. This is a very important lesson, a very beneficial lesson dealing with the maf'ulun fihi or dharf al-zaman and dharf al-makan. So for homework, we saw that, I don't know if I can get these notes up here or not. Let's see. One moment. Yeah, let's see if this works. Yeah, that one up. Okay, let me see the rest of it is here. Sorry about this brief delay. Just trying to get the notes up here. The references that we're going to be doing today. Okay. All right, so we're going to be reviewing lesson number 12 today. So from the English key, most of what we're going to be covering is from point number one, that's related to the maf'ulun fi, or dharf al-zaman, makan. What's the difference between dharf al-makan and dharf al-zaman? And that the dharf al-makan and zaman maf'ulun fi is originally mansub, but there are some of them which are mabniyun, and how that works. And we're going to be also looking at words that function as yani dhuruf, as a dharf, even though they're not originally a dharf. And we're going to be looking at the word kam and how that works. And then we're going to be looking at two other matters that are unrelated to this, the parakul law, imtina limtina. And we're going to be looking at the two words qabl and ba'du, and when they are mabniyun and why, and what's the rules related to that. So we're going to try to cover all of that today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We're going to look at the English key, and then we're going to read the Arabic explanation, which pretty much, yani, they're pretty close. They're almost like the same in this particular lesson. Not always, but in this lesson, they're pretty much the same. Anyway, we're going to look at both of them. And it is important and extremely beneficial to understand the maf'ulun fihi, and to know what its two types are. Okay, so we're going to read from the English first, from page 48. Page 48. It says at the top of the page, and this is lesson 12, right? Review of lesson 12. It says the dharf or the maf'ulun fihi. This is the first point of 3 points in this particular lesson, and it's the core of the lesson, and most of the lesson is dealing with this. The dharf, in Arabic, al-dharf, or maf'ulun fihi. The dharf is a noun which denotes the time or the place of an action. Okay, it's related it's related to an action in terms of what? It tells us the time when the action took place or the place where it occurred. Okay, so there are two types of dharf, and both of them come under the general title of al-maf'ulu fihi. Yani, the action took place in this time or in this place. If it took place in a certain time, we call that dharf al-zaman. If it happened in a certain place, we call it dharf al-makan. And they're going to give us examples of both of them. So A, they said, they're going to start with the adverb of time, dharf al-zaman. And they gave us the first example, kharajtu laylan, I went out at night. The action is kharajtu, I went out. When did I go out? At night time. So laylan is dharf al-zaman, or an adverb of time that tells us the time when the action of going out occurred. When did it occur? At night. The second example, sa'usafiru ghadan insha'Allah, I shall travel tomorrow if Allah wills. Again, the action is traveling. When did the action take place? Or when will it take place? Ghadan, tomorrow. So ghadan is the noun that denotes the time in which this action is going to take place. So it's dharf al-zaman, under the general title of maf'ulun fi. The next example they gave us is nimtu ba'da nawmika, I slept after you slept. Yani, when did I sleep? After you slept. In some time after you slept. So in this sentence, nimtu ba'da nawmika, and in this sentence, ba'da, which tells us that it happened after something else, yani this is the dharf al-zaman, because it's talking about time. Dharf az-zaman, or the adverb of time. Those are three examples. Yani, in these three examples we see laylan, ghadan, and ba'da, all of them indicating something about the time of the action. Nimtu ba'da naumika, the action of sleeping took place after you slept. This is called dharf az-zaman, that is the adverb of time. The second type of dharf is b. Mashaytu meelan, I walked a mile. In this sentence, the action is masha, walking. Where did it take place? For the distance of a mile. I walked a mile. So meelan here in this sentence is telling us where the action of walking took place. Second example. Jalastu inda al-mudiri, I sat at the headmaster's. Yani, I sat in the presence of the headmaster or the principal. So in this sentence, the action of sitting, where did it take place? Inda al-mudiri, in the presence of the headmaster or the principal. So inda is the dharf al-makan, because it tells us the action of sitting, where did it take place. The next example, nimtu tahta shajaratin, I slept under a tree. So the action of sleeping, where did it take place? Tahta shajaratin, underneath a tree. So tahta is telling us where the action took place. Therefore, it's dharf al-makan, or adverb of place. So these examples, mashaytu meelan, jalastu inda, nimtu tahta, in each of these cases, yani these words indicate the place where the action of walking, or the action of sitting, or the action of sleeping, where it took place. This is called dharf al-makan, that is the adverb of place. So these are the first two points related to the maf'ulun fi, that is divided into two types of words. Yani, the noun which indicates the time, or the noun which indicates the place of the action. Two divisions, maf'ulun fi, dharf al-zaman and dharf al-makan, the adverb of time and the adverb of place. The next point that we want to say is the dharf is mansub. Yani, the general ruling is that an adverb of place or time, that it's mansub. However, there are some exceptions, and that's the next point. Some dhuruf, yani dhuruf is the plural of dharf, some dhuruf are mabniyun. Some of them are not mansub, but rather they are mabniyun, yani in the place where they should be mansub. So it says some dhuruf are mabniyun. Here are some, yani examples of adverbs that are mabniyun. Aina, which ends with fatha, yani it's mabniyun ala fatha. Amsi, which ends with kasra, meaning it's mabniyun ala kasra. Yani it's fixed on kasra, it doesn't change. Haythu and qattu, with shaddu on the ta, yani which end with dhamma. So they are both mabniyun ala dhamma, fixed on dhamma. That vowel doesn't change no matter where it came in the sentence. Huna and mata, yani huna ends with alif mamduda, and mata ends with alif maksura. Both of them end with alif, and alif is not a consonant. It's a letter of the alphabet, it's not a consonant, it never takes a vowel, so it's always sakin. So huna and meta, both of them end with sukoon, yani therefore they are mabniyun ala sukoon. From these examples we can see that some dhuruf are mabniyun ala fatta like aina, mabniyun ala kasra like amsi, mabniyun ala dhamma like haythu and qat, and mabniyun ala sukoon. The point is though that there are some dhuruf, even though the original rule is that the dharf, the adverb, is mansub, but there are some exceptions that are mabniyun, either on fatha, kasra, dhamma, or sukoon. Now they give us some examples of sentences where these examples of adverbs that are mabniyun are used. So for meta, yani when, they have meta kharajta, when did you go out? So meta is a dharf, dharf az-zaman. It's mabniyun ala sukoon. For aina, they gave us aina tadrusu, where do you study? So aina is a dharf, ظرف المكان. ظرف المكان. Because it's talking about the place of studying. It's مبني على فتح. أمسي. And by the way, يعني أين is مبني على فتح. You might say, well, originally they're منصوب with فتح anyway. So what's the point here? The point here is that it's fixed on فتح. It doesn't change. Like some adverbs, if they are preceded by a preposition, like من, for example. Like if you said من أين. يعني من, the preposition من is not going to make أين change from فتح to كسرة. Because it's مبني على فتح. Whereas some other يعني adverbs, if they were preceded by a preposition like من, then their vowel would change to كسرة. But these are يعني these are مبني, so they don't change no matter what. Okay, so أين is مبني على فتح. The third one, MC, they said لم أغيب MC. I was not absent yesterday. Here in this sentence, MC is مفعول فيه يعني ظرف الزمان مبني على كسرة. It's fixed on كسرة. It doesn't change. The next one, قط. لم أذق هذه الفاكهة قط. I never tasted this fruit. Here, قط is مفعول فيه ظرف الزمان. Because it's talking about I never ever tasted it. يعني in the past, in time. In time past, لم أذق هذه الفاكهة. قط ever. The next one, هنا مبني على سكون. The sentence they gave us, اجلس هنا, sit here. So هنا here is the مفعول في, يعني ظرف المكان, because it's talking about the place where you're being told to sit. So it's ظرف المكان, it's مبني على سكون. And finally they gave an example for حيث, which is مبني على الضم like قط. And the sentence, اجلس حيث شئت, sit where you like, sit wherever you like. In this sentence, حيث is the مفعول فيه, يعني ظرف المكان, because it's talking about the place where you're being told to sit. Sit wherever you like, in any place that you like. Sit, يعني اجلس حيث شئت. So here, حيث is مفعول فيه ظرف المكان مبني على ضمة. Okay, so those are examples of some adverbs, some ظروف that are not, we don't say they are منصوب, which is the normal rule for the ظرف. Rather, we say they are مبني, fixed on فتح كسر ضم وسكون, in the place where they should be منصوب. Because the original ruling for the ظرف is that it's منصوب. But because they are مبني, we don't say it's منصوب, we say it's في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منصوب. They said, here are examples. In my book it has, here is, N examples. But what it should say is, here are examples of the إعراب of مبني ظروف. يعني adverbs that are مبني. And here are some examples of the إعراب. How we explain the إعراب. We don't say they are منصوب. Rather we say they are مبني in the place where they should be منصوب. It says in the sentence, لم أغيب MC. The word MC is ظرف الزمان. But it is مبني, ending in كسرة. يعني مبني على كسرة, fixed on كسرة, and is in the place of نصب. So we say it's مبني على كسرة في محل نصب. في, in محل, the place of نصب, of it being منصوب, accusative case. مبني على كسرة في محل نصب. Then they give us on the next page, turn to page 49, in the sentence they give us another example of إعراب of a مبني ظرف. أين تدرس. In the sentence أين تدرس, where are you studying, the word أين is ظرف المكان. It's an adverb of place, but it is مبني. We don't say it's منصوب, we say it's مبني ending in فتح. يعني مبني على فتح. And it is in the place of نصب, في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منصوب. We don't say it's منصوب, we say it's مبني, in the place where it should be منصوب. يعني مبني على فتح وكسر وضم وسكون في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منصوب. Okay, so that is what we wanted to say in terms of the two types of ظرف, ظرف الزمان and مكان. and that some of them, and even though it's originally mansub, but some of them are mabniyun. We're going to stop here before we look at the words which function as dhuruf, because that is a somewhat lengthy discussion. We're going to stop here, and that will be the last part of what we're going to say about dhuruf. We're going to go to the Arabic a little bit and look at these same topics as they came in the Arabic text, starting on page 98 and continuing over to 99. What we just covered in English, we're going to look at it in Arabic on page 98 and 99. Top of the page it says, Al-Maf'ulun Fihi. Yani the Maf'ul Fihi. Yani Fi Al-Makan or Fi Al-Zaman. The example they gave us here, وَسَلْتُ يَوْمَ الثُّلَثَاءِ. I arrived at whatever place, يَوْمَ, on the day of ثُلَثَاء, yani Tuesday. هُنَا, in this sentence, the word يَوْم, وَسَلْتُ يَوْمَ, is مَفْعُولٌ فِيهِ. الْمَفْعُولُ فِيهِ اسْمٌ مَنْسُوبٌ. This is the Arabic definition of مَفْعُولٌ فِيهِ. المفعول فيه, it is اسم منصوب, a noun that is in the accusative case. يذكر لبيان, it is mentioned to clarify زمان الفعل, the time of the action, أو مكانه, or its place. يعني it's used to clarify the time of the action or the place of, or its place. The time or the place of an action, where that action took place or when it took place. ويسمى أيضا ظرفا. This maf'ul fi yusamma aydan dharfan, it's also called a dharf, an adverb. Alright, so in the Arabic here, what we want to pay attention to is the Arabic definition of maf'ul fi, ismun mansubun, a noun that is mansub. Yudhkaru, it is mentioned, li bayani zamani al fi'li aw makanihi. It is mentioned, the maf'ul fi is mentioned, is brought into the sentence to clarify for us the time of the action or its place. The time when the action took place or the place where it took place. And it's also called a dharf. And then they give us examples of dharf al-zaman and dharf al-makan that we saw before. For example, alif, kharajtu laylan. I went out in the night. When did I go out? In the night. Sa'usafiru ghadan, insha'Allah. I will travel when? Tomorrow, insha'Allah. Nimtu ba'da nawmika. I slept when? After your sleeping. So these are examples of what? Yani laylan, ghadan, and ba'da are examples of words, nouns, that indicate or clarify for us when the action took place. During the night, tomorrow, or after you slept. That's dharf al-zaman. Ba, the next type of dharf, is the dharf al-makan. The examples they gave us, mashaytu meelan, I traveled, I walked for 1 mile. Where did I walk? For a mile. Jalastu inda al-mudiri, where did I sit? I sat in the presence of the mudir. Nimtu tahta shajaratin, where did I sleep? Underneath a tree. So these are dharf al-makan. Why? Because each of these tell us meelan, inda, and tahta tell us the place where the walking or the sitting or the sleeping occurred. Okay, that's the quick summary in Arabic of what we just covered in English. Now let's go back to the English again and look at the last part of the maf'ul fi, and that is words which function as dhuruf. Some words that function or yani act as though they are dharf. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not going back to English yet. I didn't finish the Arabic explanation of some of the dhuruf that are mabniyun. I thought that was kind of quick. Okay, so I just explained in Arabic on page 98, yani the two types of dharf that come under the title of maf'ul fi, dharf al-zaman and dharf al-makan. The next part of this topic, before we go back to the English, is ba'du al-dhuruf mabniyatun. Some of the dhuruf, some dharf, some adverbs are mabniya, fixed. Yani the ending is unchanging from fatha or kasra or dhamma or sukoon, whatever it is, it remains like that in no matter which place it came in the sentence. Okay, so originally we said that the dharf is yani mansub, but there are some which are mabniyun, and here are some examples. They said, number one, mata, تقول متى خرجت. When did you go out? هنا the word here, the word متى is ظرف زمان. It's an adverb of time. مبني على السكون. Fixed upon سكون في محل نصب. This is the إعراب. This is how we do the إعراب. And متى خرجت, we say هنا the word متى is ظرف زمان, an adverb of time, مبني على السكون, fixed on the سكون في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منصوب. Not منصوب, it's in the place where it should be منصوب. It's مبني, fixed on سكون, in the place where it should be منصوب. The second one is أين. تقول أين تدرس. You say, for example, where are you studying? هنا, in this sentence, أين, the word أين is ظرف مكان. It's an adverb of place, because it's telling us where the person, and it's asking us about where the place person is studying. So we say it is ظرف مكان. In this sentence, in terms of إعراب, we say أين is ظرف مكان مبني على فتح في محل نصب. It's an adverb of place fixed upon فتح, in the place where it should be منصوب. The third one, أمسي. تقول لم أغب أمسي. You say, for example, I was not absent yesterday. لم أغب أمسي. هنا, in this sentence, أمسي, in terms of its إعراب, we say it is ظرف زمان مبني على كسر في محل نصب. لم أغب أمسي, إعراب of أمسي, is ظرف زمان, an adverb of time, مبني على كسر, يعني fixed upon the vowel كسر, في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منصوب. Then the fourth one, قط. تقول لم أذق هذه الفاكهة قط. I never tasted this fruit. لم أذق قط, ever tasted this fruit. هنا, in this sentence, قط is ظرف زمان, in adverb of time, مبني على الضم, fixed upon ضم, في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منصوب. Number five, هنا. تقول اجلس هنا, sit here, في هذه الجملة. In this sentence, هنا, the word هنا, in this sentence, اجلس هنا, is ظرف مكان. In terms of its إعراب, we say it's ظرف مكان, مبني على السكون, في محل نصب. ظرف المكان, adverb of place. Because it's talking about what? Here. Sit where? Here. So it's telling us where to sit, where the action of sitting is going to take place. Sit here. So it's ظرف مكان, مبني على السكون, fixed upon سكون, في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منصوب. Turn to page 99. Number 6, الآن. تقول الآن جئت. Now you came. الآن, you're a bit late, right? الآن جئت. Now you just came. هنا, in this sentence, the word الآن, in terms of إعراب, we say it is ظرف زمان مبني على فتح في محل نصب. It's an adverb of time. It is مبنيٌ, fixed upon the vowel فتح. في محل نصبٍ, in the place where it should be منصوب. And finally, they gave us حيث. تقول اجلس حيث شئت. Sit wherever you wish, wherever you like, wherever you want. هنا, in this sentence, the word حيث, its إعراب is that it is ظرف مكانٍ, an adverb of place, مبنيٌ على الضم, fixed upon the vowel ضم, في محل نصب, in the place where it should be منصوب. We don't say it's منصوب, we say it's مبنيٌ, in the place where it should be منصوب. مبنيٌ على الضم, في محل نصب. Okay, now we go to the last part of the مفعول في. We're gonna go back to English, okay? Now we go back to the English on page 49. Near the top of the page, let me just check my time. Okay, we're doing good with time. Now, near the top of the page, it says, words with function, which function as dhuruf. This is a very important topic related to mef'ulun fi, because this topic helps us to recognize sometimes words that are not originally words that indicate time or place. So we wouldn't recognize them as being mef'ulun fi, because mef'ulun fi is what? It's a noun that is mentioned, it's a noun that's mansub, and it's mentioned to clarify the time or the place of the action. Okay? It's the word that clarifies for us the time of the place or the action of the verb. So words that indicate time and place can be recognized as being mafulun fi. That in this sentence is telling us that it happened in this time, al-yawm, or ghadan, or ams, or huna, or hunak, and so on. So these words would make us know that this is dharf al-zaman or dharf al-makan. But they are words which are not originally indicating time or place. So what are those circumstances in which those words would be considered as maf'ulun fihi or dharf al-zaman or dharf al-makan, and therefore they would be mansub, and therefore they would take fatha. We would say that it is mansub. وَعَلَامَةُ نَصْبِهِ فَتْحَ. What are those cases? Well, here they give us four categories of words that function, act as though they are a dharf, al-zaman or dharf al-makan. It says here on the top of page 49, words with function as dhuruf. Yani, they take the place of the dharf. That's what actually it means. It means that they take the place of the dharf. A word may represent a dharf, yani sit in its place, act on its behalf, and take its ruling as being mansub with fatha. A word may represent a dharf, and so take the nasb ending, even though originally it is not a word denoting time or place, zaman or makan. Originally, it's not a word denoting time or place. But it may represent a dharf, and therefore take the nasb ending, even though originally it's not a word denoting time or place. It happens with the following types of words. And they give us four types of words. Words that fall under these categories with these restrictions or these guidelines, we should treat them as though they are functioning as a dharf, taking the place of the dharf. And therefore, their i'rab would be that they are mansub. And the sign of them being mansub would be that they take fatha. Alright, the first type A is words like kull, ba'ad, nisf, and rub. Kullu meaning all of it. Ba'ad, some of it. Nisf, half of it. Rub, a quarter of it. Words like kullu, and these are not the only words, but words like this that have this type of meaning, kullu, ba'ad, nisf, rub, when they have place or time words as their mudaf ilayhi. And when they have a word that does indicate place, that does indicate time, and that word which indicates place or time is the mudaf ilayhi to kullu or ba'd or nisf or rub or words like them, and when they have a mudaf ilayhi that is a word that denotes time or place, then the word kullu or ba'd or nisf or rub or words like them, they will substitute. They will represent the dharf that's connected to them in idafa, and they will act as a dharf, and therefore take the ruling of being mansub with fatha. Okay? So the first category are words like kullu and ba'd and nisf and rub, when they have a place or time word as their mudaf ilayhi. And if they have a word that does denote time or place as the mudaf ilayhi, as the second part of an idafa construction, with kullu or ba'd or words like that. First example is an example that where this word is going to, kullu is going to substitute for a word that denotes time. And therefore we're going to say it is acting like the, or taking the place of, or functioning as a dharf as zaman, and therefore mansub with fatha. The first example they gave us, safarna, yani nahnu safarna kulla an-nahari, kulla with fatha. We travel the whole day. Kullu an-nahar. An-nahar is the word that originally indicates time. The day, the whole daytime. But kullu here, since it is the mudaf, and the word that indicates time is this mudaf ilay, so kullu is going to function as a dharf. It's going to represent the dharf. It's going to sit in the place of the dharf. It's going to take its ruling as being mansub, and therefore that's why it has fatha. Safarna, we traveled. When? Kulla and nahar, the whole day. Second example, another example of dharf as zaman. Bakitu fil mustashfa ba'da yawmin. I remained in the hospital for part of a day. Bakitu fil mustashfa. I remained in the hospital. When? For how long? Yani yawm is the original word that indicates time, zaman. But it is the mudaf ilay for ba'd. So ba'd is going to function as a dharf. It's going to represent the dharf yawm. It's going to take its place. It's going to substitute for it. It's going to take its ruling as being mansub with fatha. Baqitu fil mustashfa ba'da. So ba'da is the substitute functioning as the dharf for its mudaf ilayhi yawm. So it takes fatha, and yawm is mudaf ilayhi with kasra. Even though yawm here is the original word that indicates time. I remained in the hospital for part of the day. We traveled the whole day. So kullu, whole, is substituting for nahar. And ba'd is substituting for yawm. Third example, another example of dharf as zaman. Intadhartuka ruba'a with fatha. Ruba'a sa'atin. I waited for you 15 minutes. Literally, for a quarter of an hour. Ruba'a sa'atin. A quarter of an hour. Which is equal to 15 minutes, right? Intadhartuka ruba'a sa'atin. I waited for you for 15 minutes. Here, the original word that indicates time, zaman, is sa'a. But it's the mudaf ilay to rub. So rub is substituting for it, representing it, functioning as a dharf, and therefore taking the rule of being mansub with fatha. The last example they gave is an example of dharf makan. Mashaytu nisfa kilometrin. I walked half a kilometer. Where did I walk? Yani, I walked half of a kilometer. So kilometer is the word that originally indicates place, yani distance of a kilometer. But because it's the mudaf ilayhi to nisf, so nisf is functioning as the dharf, representing the dharf, substituting for the dharf, taking its ruling of being mansub, and that's indicated by fatha. Alright, in these sentences, the word kullu, ba'd, ruba, and nisfa are mansub because they function in this particular position as a, they function as dhuruf, as adverbs, but the actual words denoting time and place are their mudaf ilayhi, and nahar, yawm, sa'a, and kilometer. These are the actual words that indicate time or place, but because they are mudaf ilayhi, so the word that is its mudaf, kullu, ba'd, rub, and nisf are functioning as the dharf, representing the dharf, substituting for the dharf, taking its place, and therefore its ruling of being mansub with fatha. This is the first type of word. Words like kullu, ba'du, nisfu, and rubu, words that when they are an idafa to a word as the mudaf ilay, a word that has place or time meaning as mudaf ilay, then these words take their place and function as a dharf, and therefore become mansub with fatha. The second type of word, a little bit shorter discussion, the adjective of a dharf after the dharf is omitted, is deleted, is left out. The adjective of the dharf, dharf al-zaman or dharf al-makan, when that dharf is omitted, but the adjective that was describing it remains, that adjective substitutes for it. Functions as a dharf, takes its place and takes its ruling as being yani mansub with fatha. So the example they gave us, for example, jalastu tawilan. The original sentence is jalastu waqtan tawilan. I sat for a long time. Tawilan is an adjective describing waqt. If waqt is omitted, then tawilan substitutes for it, functions as a dharf, and therefore is mansub with fatha. Jalastu tawilan means jalastu waqtan tawilan. I sat for a long time. In the first sentence, tawilan, yani jalastu tawilan, is mansub because it functions as a dharf. In that, it is an adjective for the dharf that has been omitted. Similar to this, you could say, for example, this is not written in a book, nimtu qaleelan, I slept a little bit. Yani meaning, nimtu waqtan qaleelan, I slept for a little amount of time. So when waqtan, the actual dharf, is omitted, its adjective describing it, waqtan qaleelan, the adjective substitutes for it, takes its place, acts as a dharf, functions as a dharf, and therefore is mansub with fatha. The third type of word is a demonstrative pronoun whose bedel, yani hadha or hadhihi or dhalika or tilka, its bedel is a word that denotes time or place. Its bedel is a word, is a noun that denotes time or place. Is the actual word that is the maf'ulun fi, dharf as zaman or makan. But in this case, it came as a bedel for a demonstrative pronoun, ism ishara. And therefore, the ism ishara functions as the dharf for its bedel. And therefore, yani, ism ishara, because they are mabniyun, except the duals, because they are mabniyun, we won't say that it's mansub, but we'll say it's mabniyun fi mahalli nasb, in the place where it should be mansub. So a demonstrative pronoun whose bedel is a word denoting time or place, that demonstrative pronoun will function as a dharf. It will substitute for it, take its place, and become mansub, yani with fatta, or in this case, because it's a demonstrative pronoun, is mabniyun, so we won't say it's mansub with fatta, we'll say it's mabniyun in the place where it should be mansub. For example, jaitu hadha al-usbu'a, I came this week. So al-usbu'a is the original word. Here, hadha is mabniyun, and in the place of nasb. Hadha, we say it is mabniyun in the place where it should be fi mahalli nasb, where it should be mansub. Why? Because the ism ishara here, its bedel is a word that indicates usbu', indicates time. So this is really the word that indicates time. But because it's a bedel for ism ishara, the ism ishara takes its place, functions as the dharf, substitutes for it, and takes its ruling. But because this dharf is mabniyun, we say, jaitu hadha, yani hadha in this case ism ishara is mabniyun in the place where of nasb, yani fi mahalli nasb. The third type that they give us here, and the final one, is numbers representing place or time words. Notice that in the previous one we had a demonstrative pronoun whose bedel is a word denoting time or place, and in the one before that the adjective of a dharf that has been omitted, and words before that, yani kullu or ba'd or nisf or rub, where the mudaf ilayhi is a time or place word. So in each of these cases where a word that's not originally a time or place word functions as a dharf is because it's connected in idafa, or it's an adjective for, or it is the mubdal minhu, or it's the number that's connected to the time or place word. And this is the last one, numbers representing time or place words. But the point is that each one of these four categories of words are words that are connected to a dharf, a time or place word. They're connected to them in some kind of way, and therefore they're substituting for them, yani representing them, acting, yani functioning as a dharf and taking its ruling of either being mansub with fatha or being mabniyun in the place where it should be mansub. So the fourth one is numbers representing time or place words. For example, makathtu fi Baghdad 4 ayyamin, I stayed or remained in Baghdad for 4 days. And here the time or place word is ayyamin, but the number representing that word is arba. So arba is a number representing a time word, in this case a time word. And therefore that number representing it, how many days? 4 days. The number representing the time word ayyam, yani is taking its place, substituting for it, functioning as a dharf, and therefore taking on its ruling of mansub with fatha. Makathtu fi Baghdad 4 ayyamin, I stayed in Baghdad 4 days. How many days? 4 days. So the number is substituting for days in terms of the i'rab. Sirna 100 kilometers, we have gone 100 kilometers and we have traveled 100 kilometers. Here, kilometers is the place word, distance, kilometers. And mia is representing it, taking its place, functioning as the dharf, therefore taking its ruling of being mansub with fatha. Here, arba'ata is mansub, yani in arba'ata ayyam, because it represents a word denoting time, ayyam. And mi'ata is mansub, in mi'ata kilometrin. It's mansub because it represents a word, kilometer, denoting place. Alright, so these are four types of words that function as dhuruf, yani kullu ba'd nisf. Yani these are words that show the whole or the part of something, yani the place or time of something. Alright, the second type is the adjective of a dharf. When that dharf has been omitted, the adjective functions, substitutes for the dharf. And the third one is demonstrative pronoun, which are all mabniyun except the duals. If it's bedel, the word that is connected to it in this relationship of bedel and mubdal minhu, yani if it's bedel is a word denoting time or place, the demonstrative pronoun functions in its place, substitutes for it, represents it, and takes on its ruling. But because demonstrative pronouns are for the most part mabniyun, we won't say it's mansub, but we'll say it's mabniyun fi mahalli nasb. And the last one is numbers that represent time and place words. And finally, just one more point before we close this topic of maf'ulun fihi, and that is on the top of page 50. It says, in the same way, and in the same way as numbers that represent time and place words that we just had, the fourth type of category of words that substitute for dharf, in the same way as numbers representing time and place words, the word kam, which means how many, functions as a dharf. In the same way as numbers though, it functions as a dharf if it represents a time or place word. If it's being asked about how many, something that is representing time or representing place. For example, kam labithta, how long did you stay? Or the meaning may be, yani what is intended by how long did you stay, meaning how many days, how many hours, how many weeks, how many months did you stay there? It's asking about kam what? It's asking about time. So kam here is representing days or hours or weeks or months. It's representing a word that yani indicates time. So in this case, yani kam here would be substituting for the dharf as zaman. And therefore, yani we will say it is mabniyun ala sukun fi mahalli nasb. The second example is an example of place. Kam mashayta, how much did you walk? Or how many kilometers did you walk? How many blocks did you walk? How many feet or yards did you walk? So kam here is representing a word that is a word indicating time or place. In this case, place, yani kilometers or miles or whatever. So kam mashayta, how many did you walk? Meaning how many miles, how many kilometers, how many blocks did you walk? So kam here is taking the place, yani it's functioning as the dharf in place of the word that indicates yani makan. So it's functioning as a dharf al-makan mabniyun yani ala sukun fi mahalli nasb. Okay, as far as this last point of the maf'ulun fi in the Arabic, this is covered on page 99. The word kam and this discussion of kam is not presented in the Arabic section for some reason. But in any case, yani kam is, yani it's functioning, it's acting in the same way of what we said about numbers. The way when numbers, yani represent a time or place word, that number functions as a dharf in the same way kam. If it is representing a time or place word, yani it substitutes for it. Okay, so as far as words that substitute for the dharf, we said there are four categories here. And in Arabic, on page 99, near the top of the page, it says, هُنَاكَ أَسْمَاءٌ تَنُوبُ عَنَ الظَّرْفِ. There are nouns which substitute for. تَنُوبُ, yani نَائِبْ عَنْ, yani substitutes for, represents the dharf. مِنْهَا, from amongst them, are المضاف إلى الظرف مما دل على كلية الزمان أو مكان أو جزئيتهما. Okay, this is the first one that we discussed previously, and in that previous discussion we said what? Words like كل وبعد or نصف or رب, يعني when they have time or place words as their مضاف إليه. So in Arabic it says what? المضاف إلى ظرف, a word that is the first part of an إضافة construction. المضاف إلى ظرف. So it's connected an إضافة to a ظرف. So a ظرف is going to be its مضاف إليه. المضاف إلى ظرف, يعني a word that's connected to a ظرف in إضافة, مما دل على كلية الزمان, from that which indicates كلية الزمان, the whole of the time. أو المكان, or the whole of the place. أو جزئيتهما, or a part of the two of them. A part of the time or a part of the place. So what do we mean here? We mean a word that is connected in a mudafa as the first part of an idafa construction, is connected to an adverb, a dharf, as its mudaf ilayh. And that word, the mudaf here, is a word which indicates kulliyati zaman aw makan, the whole of the time that that dharf represents, or the whole of the place that the dharf, the actual dharf represents, or juz'iyatihima, or a part of them, a part of the time, or a part of the place. So these are words that indicate the whole of something, or a part of something, that is dealing with time or place. The whole of the place, or part of the place. The whole of the time, or part of the time. That's why they gave us examples of kullu or ba'd, the whole of it, or part of it, or nisfu or rubu, or half of it, or a quarter of it, and so on, like this. Okay, so this is the first type of word, the mudaf, that's connected to a dharf, and that mudaf is indicating the whole or a portion of time or place, a word that represents time or place. And then they gave us the examples that we read already. We'll just look at them quickly. Safarna kull al-nahar. We have traveled the whole of the day. Yani kulla here is a word that indicates the whole of something. Kulliyati al-zaman. Could be kulliyati zaman or kulliyati al-makan. Or juz'iyati zaman or juz'iyati al-makan. The whole of it or part of the time or the place. Here we have the whole of the time. Intadhartuka rub'a sa'atin. I've waited for you for a quarter of an hour or 15 minutes. Here, rub'a is representing a part, juz'iyya, of the zaman, the time, the sa'a. Mashaytu nisfu kilometrin. I have walked for a half of a kilometer. Here, nisfu is representing a part, juz'iyyati al-makan, a part of the place, the distance of walking. هنا كلمات كل, رب, النصف, نابت على الظروف. يعني it's substituted for the adverbs. It's substituted for the adverbs. يعني النهار and ساعة and kilometer. The second type is صفته. يعني the adjective describing the ظرف itself, when that ظرف has been omitted. For example, جلست طويلا, أي وقتا طويلا. Here, tawilan is an adjective that's describing waqt, but waqt has been omitted, so tawilan, the adjective, is taking its place. هنا, tawilan sifatun للظرفي. It's an adjective for the ظرف. نابت عنه. يعني it is نائب. It is substituting for it, taking the place of the ظرف that has been omitted. Number three, اسم إشارة. اسم الإشارة. يعني the demonstrative pronoun. For example, جئت هذا الأسبوع, I came this week. So أسبوع is the ظرف الزمان. هذا is, يعني, is going to take its place because أسبوع here is the, يعني, بدل for it. هنا هذا ناب عن الظرف. It substitutes for the ظرف, يعني الأسبوع, the ظرف الزمان. And the final one is العدد, يعني the number. A number that represents a time or place word. It says, مكثت في بغداد أربعة أيام. I remained in Baghdad for 4 days. يعني, so days is the original word that indicates time. أربعة is a number representing it. So it takes its place, takes its ruling of being mansub with fatah. صرنا مئة كيلومترا. يعني, I have walked or traveled, or I'm sorry, we have walked or traveled 100 kilometers. هنا أربعة and مئة. These words أربعة أيام and مئة كيلومتر. يعني عددان are two numbers. نابا, both of them have substituted عن الظرف for a ظرف. So the numbers that يعني represent time or place words take their place, take their ruling, and are يعني إعراب explained as being منسوب يعني ظرف الزمان وظرف المكان مفعول فيه منسوب with فتح unless it's مبني, and then we say it's في محل نصب. Okay, that's the end of the مفعول فيه ظرف الزمان. And again, I have to remind myself that this is actually يعني a review, right? Because we've studied this before. So this is just to refresh our memories and make sure that we got it. Okay, the end of the rest of what remains is not that lengthy. Yani there are two more points remaining. We go back to the English key, page 50. Near the top of the page, it says number two, the particle lau, lam fatha waw with sukun, lau, is used to express an unfulfilled condition in the past. Yani lau is a particle that's used to express an unfulfilled condition. Yani there's a condition that you have to do this in order that for this to happen. The condition is unfulfilled. And since it's unfulfilled, and it's like if you came on time, you would have gotten the job. But since you didn't come on time, you didn't get the job. So it's used to express an unfulfilled condition. There's a condition, it hasn't been fulfilled, and it's in the past. So since the condition wasn't fulfilled, then yani what should have happened as a result of you fulfilling it, since you didn't fulfill it, it didn't happen. Okay, so there's a condition, a shart in Arabic, and there's a response, a jawab. And if the condition is unfulfilled, then the jawab, the response, also doesn't happen. Okay, so the example they gave us, لو اجتهدت لنجحت. Had you worked hard, if you had worked hard, you would have passed. Then you would have passed the exam. This means that you did not work hard, so you did not pass. And you didn't fulfill the condition. The condition was you had to work hard. If you had worked hard, but you didn't, that was the condition. If you had worked hard, you would have passed. But since you didn't fulfill the condition, then the response also didn't happen, the jawab. In Arabic, its Arabic name, the name of this law used for an unfulfilled condition in the past tense, its Arabic name is harfu امتناعٍ لامتناعٍ, which means that this particle signifies that one thing failed to happen because of another. Yani harf امتناع, yani the particle that indicates something is prevented from happening, لامتناع, because something else didn't happen. Yani the condition wasn't fulfilled, therefore the response didn't occur. This particle signifies that one thing failed to happen. That is the shart, the condition. I mean the jawab. One thing failed to happen, the jawab. The response didn't take place because of one thing failed to happen because of another. The thing that failed to happen is the response, the jawab. It didn't happen because of the other thing, because of another thing. That is the shart or the condition. The condition wasn't fulfilled, so the response did not occur. It says here, as you can see, the sentence is made up of two parts. Two parts, right? Yani the two parts of the sentence, لو اجتهدت, that's the first part. That's the condition that was unfulfilled. لنجحت is the response that didn't occur. That's called the jawab. So we see that this kind of statement is made up of two parts. There's a condition, which is called shart, and there's a response, which is called jawab. It says, as you can see, the sentence is made up of two parts. The second part is called jawab. And I'm saying here that the first part is called the shart. In Arabic, we'll see that the first part is called the shart. That's the condition. The second part is called the jawab. That's the response, the answer. Because the condition wasn't fulfilled, then the jawab, the response, didn't occur. In the above example, najahta is the jawab. The jawab takes lam. Now you see, la najahta. That letter lam, the letter lam, this, the jawab to the shart, it takes a lam. This lam is mostly omitted if the jawab is negative. If the jawab is negative, then the lamb is normally not mentioned. For example, لو عرفت أنك مريض ما تأخرت. ما تأخرت, that's negative. I would not have delayed. If I had known that you were sick, I would not have been late. So if the jawab is in the negative, I would not have been late. Not I would have come on time. Or I would have did whatever. But I would not have done something that's negative. So the lamb is mostly omitted if the jawab is in the negative. Here are some more examples of lao. They gave us five examples here. Two of them, there's a negative jawab, and therefore you won't see lamb there. Two of them are negative jawab, so you won't see lamb there. And the others, because the jawab is affirmative, then you're going to see lamb there. This is the general rule, that if it's in the negative, the lamb is mostly omitted. Although there are cases in which it can be there, but mostly it's omitted. If it's not in the negative, it's in the affirmative, the lamb is mostly there, even though sometimes it may be left out. But the majority of the times, if the jawab is negative, you don't see the lamb there. If it's affirmative, you see the lamb there. So here are five examples. Two of them are negative, three of them are affirmative. The first one is affirmative. لو سمعت قصته لبكيت. Had you heard his story? That's the condition. If you had heard his story, لبكيت. You would have cried. That's the jawab. So the jawab is you would have cried. That's affirmative. Therefore you see the lamb there. لبكيت. لو سمعت قصته La, this is lamb, this is not la, no, this is lamb with fatah. La baqaita, you would have cried. The second one is a negative jawab. Law hadarta amsi ma shakawtuka ila al-mudiri. Had you been present yesterday, I would not have complained about you to the headmaster, to the principal. Here we see that the shart is if you had been present. Had you been present, law hadarta amsi, if you had been present, ma shakawtuka, that's the jawab is negative. It's I would not have made a complaint against you to the principal. So since the jawab is negative, for the most part, when it's negative, you're not going to see that lamb. So in the jawab, you don't see a lamb. You just see, ma shakawtuka ila al-mudiri. The third one is affirmative jawab, so you're going to see the lamb. Hadha ta'amu fasidun. This food is rotten. Law akalahu an-nasu lamaridu. Had the people eaten it, they would have fallen sick. لو أكل الناس. If the people had eaten it, that's the condition. If they had eaten it, then something, the jawab would have happened. لمرضوا. They would have become sick. But they didn't eat it, so they didn't become sick. Here, the jawab is لمرضوا. They would have become sick. That's affirmative. So we see the lamb here. The fourth one is also affirmative. لو رأيت ذاك المنظر لبكيت. Had you seen that sight, you would have cried. لو رأيت, if, had you seen that sight, that's the condition. Had you seen it, had ذاك المنظر, then the jawab, what would have happened? لبكيت, you would have cried. That's affirmative. Therefore, you see the lamb there. When the jawab is affirmative, you see the lamb there. Yani, if you had seen that sight, you would have cried. That's affirmative. Therefore, the lamb is mostly present in the jawab if it is affirmative. The last one is negative jawab, so you won't see the lamb. It says لا عرفت أن الرحلة اليوم ما تأخرت. Had I known the trip is today, I would not have been late. Yani the condition is لا عرفت. If I had known that the trip was today, the jawab is ما تأخرت. I would not have been late. So the jawab is in the negative. I would not have been late. So since the jawab is in the negative, then we don't see the lamb accompanying the jawab. Okay, to summarize, lao is a particle used to express an unfulfilled condition in the past tense. A condition that was made, if you had done something, then something would have happened. But since you didn't do it, so it didn't happen. Okay, so there's a condition, a shart, and it's about something in the past tense happening, and it didn't happen. Law is used for the situation in which it didn't happen. The condition wasn't fulfilled. Therefore, the response, yani what should have happened as a result of you fulfilling that condition, since you didn't fulfill the condition, then the response didn't occur. That's why it's called imtina al-imtina, Yani, the condition wasn't fulfilled, so the jawab also doesn't happen. Okay, if the jawab is in the affirmative, it's usually accompanied by la. If it's in the negative, it's usually not accompanied by la, although the reverse, the opposite of that, yani is also possible, but it's not that common. Okay, let's look at the Arabic explanation of harf. Imtina limtina. It says on page 101, near the top of the page, after 6, 7, and 8, it says, وَرَضَ فِي الدَّرْسِ لَوْ أَرَفْتُ أَنَّكَ تَأْتِي إِلَى بَلَدِي لَاسْتَقْبَلْتُكَ فِي الْمَطَارِ. If I had known that you were coming to my country, to my land, I would have received you in the airport. I would have made a reception for you in the airport. Here the condition is, لَوْ أَرَفْتُ. If I had known, but I didn't know, so that's why I didn't receive you. If I had known, that's the condition, لَاسْتَقْبَلْتُكَ, I would have received you. That's the jawab. Here the jawab is, I would have received you. It's affirmative, therefore it's accompanied by the lam here. لَا اسْتَقْبَلْتُ, not لَا, but لَا. لَاسْتَقْبَلْتُكَ, I would have received you in the airport. لَوْ, this لَوْ in this type of yani expression is harfu امتناعٍ لِمْتِنَاعٍ. And it's the particle of stopping something from happening, limtina, because something didn't happen. Yani the condition didn't happen, so the jawab doesn't happen. وَتُفِيدُ ثَلَاثَةَ أُمُورِ. And the benefit that we get from it is in three areas, three things. Number one, الشرطية. It indicates a condition. Number two, تُفِيدَ الشرطية بِالزَّمَنَ الْمَاضِي. It tells us that this شرطية, this condition, is going to be in the past tense. It's always talking about, if I had known, yani yesterday, last week, in the past, then I would have done such and such, or I would not have done such and such. So it tells us that there's a condition, if, had I known, had I, yani been able to, whatever, right? That's the condition. And then that condition is related to something in the past. If I had known yesterday. And then the third thing, it tells us imtina, unfulfilled. Yani it indicates that that condition was unfulfilled, and therefore the response did not occur. So there are three things. Shartiya tells us about a condition. Second thing, that condition is in the az-zaman al-madi, past tense, about something in the past tense. And third thing is that it was unfulfilled. Yani the condition was unfulfilled, and therefore the response also was unfulfilled. It didn't occur. Yani, the response, it didn't happen because the condition didn't happen. One thing failed to happen because of another thing. Yani, the response didn't happen because the condition wasn't fulfilled. Then it says, Nahu, yani it's showing us, yani some example of this, right? لَوْ اجْتَهَدْتُ لَنَجَحْتُ. Yani, showing us that there's a condition, it's past tense, and that something else is not going to happen if that condition is not wasn't fulfilled. لَوْ اجْتَهَدْتُ, if you had worked hard, لَنَجَحْتُ, you would have passed. مَعَنَاهُ, the meaning of this is, لَمْ تَجْتَهِدْ, you didn't work hard. فَلَمْ تَنْجَحْ, therefore you didn't pass. And you didn't fulfill the condition of اجْتِهَاد, you didn't work hard, therefore the response, yani the passing, you didn't pass. Because you didn't fulfill the condition, so the response also didn't happen. Meaning, you're passing. You didn't work hard, so you didn't pass. This is the meaning of, yani harf imtina limtina. Yani, the fact that you didn't fulfill the condition, so therefore the response didn't occur. Then it says, yani as a subsidiary note, yaqtarinu jawabuha al-muthbat bil-lam. Yani the jawab, the response, when it is muthbat, affirmative, then it will be yaqtarinu. It will be accompanied by the letter lam. وَلَا يَقْتَرِنُ بِهَا جَوَابُهَا الْمَنْفِيُّ. And its jawab, if it's manfi, if it's negative, then it's not accompanied by the lam. And that's what we said in the English, that the jawab, if it's affirmative, it's accompanied by lam. If it's negative, it's not accompanied by lam. But then in the Arabic it says here, يَجُوزُ أَقْسُهُ وَهَذَا قَلِيلٌ. But the opposite is also possible, it's permissible. That the affirmative cannot, can sometimes not have the lam. and the negative can sometimes have the lamb. So even though mostly the negative doesn't have the lamb, but it can. And mostly the affirmative does have lamb, but it can be left out as well. So it says, يَجُوز أَقْسُهُ. The opposite of that rule is possible. وَهَذَا قَلِيلٌ. But this happens only rarely. Okay, that's the end of that point. And the final point of this lesson, in the final minutes that remain, in just 2 minutes, the English key on the bottom of page 50, it says point number 3, مِنْ قَبَلُ with Dhamma. The word قَبْلُ is مَبْنِيٌ. يعني مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى Dhamma. قَبْلُ وَبَعْدُ, both of these words, before and after, become مَبْنِيٌ when the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ after them is omitted. Yani when the مُضَافِ to قَبْلُ وَبَعْدُ is omitted, yani it's not written or spoken, but it's, the meaning is intended, then قَبْلُ and بَعْدُ, when its مُضَافِ is omitted, then it becomes مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الدَّمَّ. So we say, أَنَا الْآنَ مُدَرِّسٌ وَكُنْتُ مُدِيرًا مِنْ قَبْلِ ذَلِكَ. Yani I am now a teacher, and I was before that a headmaster. I am now a teacher, and I was before that a headmaster. Here, ذَلِكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ ذَلِكَ. ذَلِكَ is the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ. قَبْلِ ذَلِكَ. مِنْ قَبْلِ ذَلِكَ. Here, ذَلِكَ is the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ. Before that means before being a teacher. I was a teacher, I am now a teacher, and before that I was a headmaster. So before that, yani means before being a teacher, I was a headmaster. Now when the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ is mentioned, then قَبْلِ, يعني مِنْ قَبْلِ ذَلِكَ, we see that مِنْ قَبْلِ is taking كَسْرَ. It's مُعْرَب. It's not مَبْنِي, and it's مُعْرَب. If the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ is mentioned, مِنْ قَبْلِ ذَلِكَ. ذَلِكَ is the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ. If it's mentioned, then قَبْل is يعني مُعْرَب, and مِنْ makes it take كَسْرَ. So it takes the جَر ending, the I, after the preposition min. But when the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ is omitted, it's not mentioned, it's not written, but it's understood, it's intended, but it's not mentioned, then قَبْلُ and بَعْدُ become مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الدَّمَّ, and therefore we say, وَكُنْتُ مُدِيرًا مِنْ قَبْلُ, yani because we left out the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ. So now, even though min is preceding قَبْلُ, it's مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الدَّمَّ, min doesn't change it to كَسْرَ. This وَكُنْتُ مُدِيرًا مِنْ قَبْلُ can be translated as I was a headmaster مِنْ قَبْلُ, yani before that or earlier, yani before I became a teacher. In the same way we say كَانَ بِلَالٌ مَعِي إِلَى السَّاعَةِ الْعَاشِرَةِ وَلَمْ أَرَاهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Yani ذَلِكَ is the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ is mentioned, so we see that بَعْدِ is مُعْرَب, and min makes it take kasra. Bilal was with me until 10 o'clock, but I didn't see him min ba'di dhalika, yani after that. If we omit the mudhaf ilayhi, yani the mudhaf ilayhi after ba'di dhalika, if we omit the mudhaf ilayhi, we say, yani walam arahu min ba'du, yani because the mudhaf ilayhi is omitted in spoken or written, but it's understood. So now min doesn't change ba'd to ba'adi, because now, since the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ is omitted, it became مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الدَّمَّ. يعني لَمْ أَرَاهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ means I didn't see him after. يعني I didn't see him, understood to mean after that, I didn't see him later. The example he gave us from the Qur'an, 30th Surah, Rome, 4th Ayat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبَلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ. The decision before and after these events is Allah's, yani min qablu is mabniun ala dhamma because the mudawfi ilayhi that's understood here is not mentioned. Wa min ba'du, the same thing. The meaning is the decision before, yani in the tafsir it mentions that before means before the defeat of the Romans by the Persians. The decision before and after, yani after the defeat of the Persians by the Romans. It all belongs to Allah. In Arabic, they just give us one paragraph concerning this. It just says, مِنْ قَبْلُ يُبْنَى قَبْلُ وَبَعْدُ عَلَى الضَّمَّةِ. Yani that قَبْلُ and بعد are مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الضَّمَّةِ إِذَا قُتِيَ عَنَ الْإِضَافَةِ. If it is cut off from the إِضَافَةِ, the مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ. لَفْذًا لَا مَعْنًا. Yani whenever قَبْلُ or بَعْدُ is cut off from its مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ, love then لا معنى. It's cut off in terms of the wording, the expression is not mentioned or written, but it's not cut off معنى. The meaning is still there, but it was not mentioned. In that case, it became مبنيٌ على الضمة, as Allah says, لله الأمر من قبل. يعني, to Allah belongs the affair, the determination, يعني the decision in the affair. من قبل, يعني, from before the defeat of the Romans by the Persians, ومن بعد, and after the defeat of the Persians by the Romans. The decision belongs to Allah in every case, يعني before and after. And this is the end of what we wanted to cover for the review of this lesson. I hope that it has been beneficial. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He keep us firm, yani steadfast upon a sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him, and that He heal our sick and have mercy and forgiveness for those who have passed away. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.